Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Please say along with me. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Vajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Jaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivasadi Go Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I would like to thank Kripa Maya Prabhu for his very inspirational and inspiring point. And I would like to remind you of this, what he said. I mean, 99% of our spiritual advancement, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, comes from bowing down. This is, I mean, this, if you have notebooks, then this is the thing to write down, you know. Thank you very much, Kiva Maya Prabhu. I would... now like to say, when Lord Nrisimhadev saw the small boy Prahlad Maharaj prostrated, that's bowing down in a flat way, huh, at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection toward his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head, because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. Maybe you have seen in our Nrisimhadev, Lord Nrisimhadev, yes, it's his right hand which goes like this. Have you seen? This is a gesture which means that fearlessness is given to those who take his darshan. It's like this. When you have the next opportunity, you can pray to the hand. My dear Lord, please help me. When Lord Nrisimhadev appeared, all the devotees, Prabhupada writes, became fearless. The devotees' hope of becoming fearless is to chant the holy name of Lord Nrisimhadev. Yato yato yami tato Nrisimha. Wherever we go, we must always think of Lord Nrisimhadev. Thus there will be no fear for the devotee of the Lord. To become fearless is such an important project. To become fearless in this world actually means to become spiritual in this world, because the spiritual world is called the world without fear, Vaikuntha. This world is called Kuntaloka, the world with fear. In all of us there is this fear, and like the real intense things in life always are a little hidden, and they manifest in ways which are not always clearly obvious. Therefore, we sometimes say all of us are fearful. I translated for the modern ISKCON devotees, all of us are insecure. Hare Krishna. That is a little bit more understandable for the Western mind. It says the same thing. Insecure. Will others like me? Will my future be good? Will the movement still accept me in 10 years? Certain insecurities well up in the conditioned soul as a result of this fearful existence of being in Kunta Loka. One Srila Prabhupada was asked by one reporter, "What do you, Hare Krishna, what do you feel when you chant Hare Krishna?" Prabhupada said something very interesting. Would you like to know what Prabhupada feels when he chants Hare Krishna? It's an interesting question. First of all, let me ask you, what do you feel when you chant Hare Krishna? Is there some feeling? I think different feelings at different times. Is there any feeling? Secure? Geborgenheit? Feeling accepted? You feel nothing? That's amazing. All right. No feelings? Sleepy at least? Something? Satisfied. I feel satisfied. Says no devotee. He very quickly says, it's difficult to answer this question, isn't it? What do I feel when I chant?
I feel like dancing.
Sometimes I think it's yes, we feel like dancing sometimes. Yes, I do the right thing. I think that's a very. I know that many of you feel like that. Prabhupada said, "When I chant, I feel no fear." That was his definition. It comes in the book Memoirs of Srila Prabhupada, in the foreword of the publisher. Siddhanta Prabhu, who asked as a newcomer, he was sitting in the crowd and he was asking Prabhupada, "What do you feel when you chant?" Prabhupada's answer was, I feel no fear." I think it was an answer to a newcomer. He might have answered something else to his godbrother Krishna Das Babaji, who always chanted, but that's what Prabhupada said to Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhu when he was a new person. I think we feel free from fear at the moment when we feel we have a relationship to someone who's wonderful, who can protect us, who can accept us the way we are. That's usually when we feel free from fear as conditioned souls. A child, for instance, feels no fear when he is with someone he loves. I remember when I was a child, I had already the anattas, which I have now also. I was a freedom lover. And I would always, when I would walk with my grandpapa, and the moment we were out of the house, I ran away from his hand and ran and climbed trees and jumped over ditches. And I would have a mantra. It would say, "Kanaleine, Kanaleine." I can do it alone. That is a translation of it in German. The word "Kanaleine, Kanaleine." I can do it alone. Now, the moment, there was something which had happened in my childhood. I had once been very much in a hurry, and I crossed an open place which was guarded by a watchdog who was on a long, long line. So, I inspected the watchdog, and I saw he was in his little hut and sleeping. So I thought when I was small, well, to just go around this huge place takes so much time. I will just run very swiftly over the place. And I ran very swiftly. It was in the midday sun. Everyone was asleep in the little village where I grew up. And I was in the middle of the place, and the watchdog took notice of me, ran towards me with this huge chain, which I can still reproduce the sound for you. It's so traumatic for me. This was how. And then got into, jumped on me, put me on the ground, and then started to tear open my pants. Which is, well, leather pants. My parents insisted, because I had ruined so many pants, that I wear this short leather pants. And he just opened the pants. And he ate a little of my behind, but not very much. I still have it. And then he let me go. And from that moment, I was afraid of dogs. The only thing. So I remember I would always go with my grandfather. It would soon come to a philosophical point. I would go with my grandfather, and the moment we were out of the house, I would scream, "Kanaline, Kanaline!" I can go alone until the dogs came. The moment I even saw a dog, which had somehow, I guess, traumatized my little childish mind, I ran back, went to the grandfather, snuck my hand in his hand, and felt no fear. I want to use this little illustration on a day where we are all tired and have eaten a lot the night before and need a little to get awake, as an illustration of something which Bhaktivinoda Thakur considers crucial, a crucial point in spiritual life. It's when you actually make, during your spiritual practice, a relationship with Krishna, a conscious turning to Krishna. This point is, for me at least, a new discovery, and therefore I'm a little bit enthusiastic about it, because since I'm trying this, my whole spiritual life has changed. It's just totally different what it was before and what it has become afterwards. Jagadananda Pandit writes in the 6th chapter of the Prema Vivata about this point. He speaks about the soul who roams about in the material world, taking one birth after another. Now, if this conditioned soul is fortunate, while he's sometimes a beggar and then a king and then, when he is fortunate in this time, he meets a genuine devotee of Krishna who preaches to him. And when you have been properly preached by a devotee and something has registered to you, your first reaction is that you feel sorry for having turned away from Krishna, and that you make now a conscious endeavor to turn to Krishna. I would like to read to you these verses. Nijatatva janiya samsana chaya kenava bhajino maya karehaya haya. Enlightened by this knowledge which has been given by the devotee, He does not want material entanglement any longer. And the soul laments, alas, why have I served this illusory material energy for so long? He bitterly regrets means feels sorry, and cries out, Krishna, my Lord, I am your eternal servant. Ever since I left the shelter of your lotus feet, my life has been completely devastated. Now, I would like to make a little experiment with you in truthfulness. Truthfulness means to be honest, perfectly honest. Who of you is at this point that you do not want material entanglement any longer, and that you feel, why have I served this illusory material energy for so long? Those of you who are at this point, that they genuinely can feel like this, I would like them to repeat after me this sentence. Those who are afraid to say this sentence, don't say it. Because something will happen when you say this sentence from your heart, which we will hear a little later. Krishna will respond in a certain way. And he will help you. Now, if you still want material entanglement, and then you get Krishna's help for spiritual advancement, it's counterproductive to what you want. So don't say it. I'm very sorry, but I want you to say it with consciousness, obviously. That's the reason. But even if you still have some desires for material enjoyment, I want to say Krishna will apply a very gentle way of treating you. You will hear about it later. I really don't want to say it now because I want to test you a little. So, those who are ready, please say, alas!
Alas!
Wow. Why have I served this illusory material energy for so long? Krishna,
Krishna,
my Lord,
I'm your eternal servant.
Ever since I left the shelter of your lotus feet,
my life has been completely devastated.
Yeah. Now if Krishna hears that a devotee says this, he responds in two ways. And I find the response of Krishna so wonderful. I mean, he could throw now his special Shakti weapon and cut you free from everything which you hold still a little attached. You know, your tape recorder, or your MP3 recorder, or your hopes to marry and get a nice house at the Arteria one day, or whatever. No, Krishna is very gentle. Krishna, who hears the conditioned soul saying this, strengthens him with his transcendental internal potency. He makes you strong. And this overbearing power, it means the strength which Krishna invests in you, weakens Maya's influence in the life of the living entity. This is Jagadananda Pandit, a dear associate of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. I think this is very, very, very nice. In other words, if you wish to go forward in your spiritual life, there are two things I really would like to distill from this. You must become a little reflective about your life and think, is my life really going somewhere with the way I'm living? And you have to see. I think there are many things where we can say, yes, if I invest in these points, my life is really going. Of course, we all still have a few anchors in this world, and our progress, march, is sometimes kept. So you can see, you can ask yourself, is my anchor really helping me or not? And then you can just turn to Krishna in a sincere way, I would like to add, childlike way, and chant with an understanding, my Lord, we do have a relationship. I recognize this. And this relationship to you is most important to me. I turned away from you, and this has not brought me anywhere. Now I'm turning to you. And we, of course, know this old saying in our movement that if someone turns to Krishna with one step, Krishna turns with 100 steps towards him. This means really, in philosophical language, Krishna fortifies you, makes you stronger in this determination which you have. And the second thing is Krishna weakens Maya's influence. Now once you have done this regret and turned to Krishna and you feel something is changing, then you have to come to the second level, which is a little bit more advanced. Kadamba Kanana Maharaj has given this in Cologne for us. See, I'm thinking many of us all of us have really turned to Nrisimhadev. I know one devotee who took, one car of devotees. I only know two devotees in this car, but there might have been more, who took a 15-hour travel to come to Nrisimhadev. 15 hours. That means you really turned to Krishna. It was important for you to come here. Some of you have come from England, Kripa Maya Prabhu, who is giving still pleasure to our heart, and his sweet smiling son, Nama Mali. Huh? Yes, Nama Mali. Long way, airplanes. Some of you have come from Poland. You really turned to Lord Nrisimhadev. Congratulations. You are very fortunate. And during kirtans and during darshans, it was obvious to anyone who came in the temple room that you were consciously praying to Lord Nrisimhadev. You are these fortunate souls which are described here. And you can expect that Lord Nrisimhadev gives you now strength and weakens Maya's influence. Don't you already feel that? I mean, I feel this. I was spiritually totally weak when I came here. In my case, when I'm spiritually weak, I criticize everything. No one knows to play instruments was my first reaction when I saw the kirtans. Always too fast. I criticized other things in my mind. And this is a sign of spiritual weakness. I have to admit this to you. And now I don't feel like this. I feel all devotees are wonderful. I honestly feel like this. I hope it doesn't go very fast away. You know, even in my lectures, you know, I'm highly critical of the amount of spiritual advancement which we have. I often bring this out, and I know some devotees don't like to come to my lectures for this critical attitude in me. Krishna makes one strong in the heart. That is how he responds. But now something which Kadamba Kanana said, and I think it's so relevant, He was asked in Cologne, how can we make the breakthrough, you know, for significant advancement, not just going up, you know, and then down again. Maharaj said something so entirely beautiful and true. He said, you have to make a sacrifice, a personal sacrifice for Krishna. If you wish to maintain, if you wish to go to a higher level, you have to take from here a sacrifice. What can you do for Lord Nrisimhadev, for Lord Krishna in your service? That will help you to make the breakthrough to your next level, wherever that is. You have to bring this concept of doing something for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna into your life. Something which you might even know that you should do it, but up till now you have not really dared to do it. Anyways, I know who I am. I mean, it's a pious thought which I have, but I can't do it. Please try it now, after the festival. You will see wonders. You will see how this promise of the Lord to protect, isn't it?
To make strong.
To make strong, acha.
And have protection. Yeah, to protect against, to make strong against an enemy.
Yeah, like a fortress is in there, the fortress which protects you. So it makes you strong. And a special type of strength, it's a protective strength which you have. It protects you. And the other thing, it weakens Maya's influence. So I think all of you now are in the position to try for serious spiritual advancement. It's an adventure. Challenge yourself with something which you find exciting in your life. Maybe for some of us it is to listen to one Hare Krishna mantra. That's not easy, you know, to really stay with one mantra. Nowhere else is your concentration. Your mind goes first in the heart. We teach this in Japa retreats how to do it. And then you bring your mind into the mantra and it stays there for one mantra. It may be the challenge which you need. You will see wonders if you try, for instance, this adventure. For one mantra, you only listen this mantra. You are totally there. Then when the next comes, try the next. But don't even think about the next when you do this. You will see the dimensions. Devotees who did this on Japa retreat, old Prabhupada's disciples, they started to feel genuine, like Prabhupada says, our devotees feel genuine transcendental ecstasy. And sometimes we think, well, Kripa Maya does, but not me. Some devotees have tried this, listening to the Hare Krishna mantra, and they cried. In America, I was surprised. Even the one who took the full film, he's the most sober person in ISKCON. He, you know, with this, I'm not allowed to say names. I asked him afterwards, did you have some eye problem? You always wiped your eye? And he said, no, I was crying. Me, I don't know. Yes. Whatever it is, for some it might be to apologize in a relationship where you have done something wrong and where you felt, I should say sorry, but I'm from Germany, it's not so easy for me to do this, you know. And you will see, this time it will work. Lord Nrisimhadev had his hand there, and you were at the right spot. You stood in the laser beam of mercy. So try it. I would like to end my class with something brief on something which I'm presently working at in the Vedic way. I have Vedic psychology, and my goal here is to bring the ancient teachings of the Vedas to the understanding of modern men and devotees, contemporary devotees, who need to be convinced of our philosophy. You know, we can't progress in our spiritual life when we do offenses. We have heard this very often. The subtle effect of offenses is that our spiritual advancement is blocked. There are offenses which are so strong that they can block our advancement even for a lifetime. When we have made such an offense, for instance, a Vaishnava aparad against a pure devotee can have this benefit. There are examples in the Shastras of people who've done this in a previous life, have suffered one total life, and then, you know. So, we have also something to help us get rid of this offense, and that is to sincerely beg forgiveness and offer service to the person which we have offended so badly. In the Shastras, we have an example in the ancient time. That is Durvasa Muni, who went to Ambarish Maharaj. But we have also a modern example. Modern means Chaitanya Leela, 500 years back. But it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls it modern times. It's about this Brahmana who offended Srivas Thakur by putting these articles before his door, which mean that he was doing tantric practices, you know. It's almost like if I would like to offend Kripa Maya Prabhu, have you noticed he looks so happy and his family looks also so happy? And then if I would like to offend him, I would place a bottle of Scottish whiskey before his door, so that everyone would think he's happy because he drinks whiskey, and his family, his boy also, who has red cheeks, is now we understand. That's really now we understand. We are affectionately related, and Kripa Maya, I think, will not take offense. I mean, I wouldn't do that, of course, but no. But I wanted to say he wouldn't take offense that I give an example like this. This is what this, I wanted to translate you what this Brahmana made in modern language, so that we can understand. By placing the articles which were used to worship Goddess Chandi before the house of Srivas Thakur, he wanted to tell the whole town of Navadvip, see, the reason why they close their door and scream inside is because they drink alcohol, they eat meat, and they have sex orgies inside in a tantric. That's what he did as a serious offense. Now, when Chaitanya, as a result of this Vaishnava aparad, this Brahmana contracted leprosy. That means the limbs of his body started to melt away. Now he had to live on the banks of the river Ganga, because leprosy is infectious. Is it truly infectious? It is believed to be infectious. It is infectious. And here in Europe, we had lepro colonies, you know, outside of the town, so that the towns would not be infected. And yeah, leper people had in the Navadvip town, they had to move out of the town, away from their friends. It was social ostracism. Ostracization. So one day, Mahaprabhu passed by this leper, and the leper said to Mahaprabhu, "Please save me, my Lord. I have regretted my offense." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very angry at him. He is known to be the most merciful incarnation, but here he is angry. He says, "No, you will have to go to hell for this. I won't forgive you. You have offended a devotee. The reaction is waiting for you." And he marched on. He was serious. And very angry he was. It was not he wanted to instruct. Of course he wanted to instruct in this Leela. But he really was very angry. And other times he said to a Vaishnava offender, "Your bath in the Ganga and your chanting of Hare Krishna will turn against you." You can't say if you made a Vaishnava offense, okay, where's the Ganga? And where I chant extra rounds now, you know, I feel so bad. It will turn against you. It's because Krishna has turned away from you when you do a Vaishnava apparat. It's very, very serious. Mahaprabhu came back another time, and the Vaishnava, this Brahmana, who was really suffering with leprosy, it was so painful, he was dying. He said, everything was melting away, he was stinking in a foul way. It was, this is what leper does to you. Your flesh rots away before your own eyes. You have these ugly wounds which become bigger and bigger and go up to the bones at one stage. It's terrible. Can you save me? No, said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Brahmana couldn't believe his ears. Then Mahaprabhu said, "I can't save you, but Srivas can save you. Go to him, pay your obeisances, cry, beg for forgiveness. If he forgives you, you are saved." The Brahmana did so. He begged Srivas Thakur. I heard that he gives him his forgiveness. And he said what was done in previous times. When you had offended someone, you were asked to become his disciple. That was one so. Let me say like this. It's not what we teach in Krishna consciousness. But that was social behavior at that time. "I want to serve you. Accept me as your humble servant." Srivas Thakur said, "There is another Vaishnav. You can go to him and become. But I have totally forgiven you." So, what I would like to say in this now is, if we have offended, and that happens quite easily, we overlook someone, we reject someone, we manipulate or treat someone as an object, we treat someone unfairly or falsely accuse him or her, we verbally abuse, we betray, or we do something like put someone publicly to shame by telling about some shameful behavior in public. There are many things. I'm preparing a seminar about this and don't want, this is so distressing, this information. I want to say something positively. It's so easy to humiliate someone, knowingly or unknowingly. What does happen when you do, when someone does an offense to you? Go in your heart. How do you feel if someone offended you? The first reaction is you feel stunned. How could this be? You know, just a little while ago, someone said a terrible rumor about me. I mean, and I really felt offended. All what I'm trying to do in my life, the rumor said I'm insincere and I'm not. It was really a good. I mean, it was nicely placed by the person. It really did what. I was broken down. I felt stunned in the beginning, shocked. And then the next thing which happens if someone does an offense to us, we repeatedly think about this. How could he say this? How could he do this? And as we repeatedly think about it, we start to feel sorry. We feel, why do I always think about this? I want to think of Krishna. I want to think of spiritual life. I want to think of service. But I'm always thinking about this. My whole mind becomes dark now. And I lose my whole self-response. And then the next reaction is we feel anger. We feel, which turns into rage. The young people of you know the rock band Rage Against the Machine. Huh? I was once preaching on a rock festival and I heard the Rage Against Machine from America and I thought, wow, that's a good title. And I heard they were really angry. Oh my God, were they angry. And then from your anger comes bad behavior. You write nasty emails. You stop a relationship and so on. And then the offended person slowly can forget it. But this is the most dangerous effect of what comes when someone is offended or when we offend someone. The most dangerous is the time when he forgets this was done to me. Because he wants to get rid of it. He wants to liberate himself from the darkness around him. He forgets about it, but something remains with him. Sometimes for the rest of the life, it's a bitterness. I think in English we say resentment. It's something which eats away his desire to serve Krishna. It's something which makes him, I don't care for anyone or anything any longer. I have seen that many devotees in our movement, old devotees, have come to this state where they feel bitter. And out of this bitterness, they just don't feel any desire to serve any longer. Because bitterness or resentment kills love and appreciation, you know. So, I was telling you now, this was modern psychology, what you heard, which is true. You know, not all modern things are wrong. I mean, most of psychology is very, very wrong because it is not knowing about soul, but this is just human things. So you can become free if you have offended someone, if you satisfy the offended party. And the offended party only usually wants one thing, a sincere apology, or as we say, asking for forgiveness. If you want to, have you ever asked someone for forgiveness and he really has not forgiven you? Has this happened? To me it happened many times. You try, but something is not just right. And that is because maybe you do not know like I, the process of offering an apology. You know, with an apology, you do nothing less than trying to satisfy the genuine needs which the person whom you have harmed, intentionally or unintentionally, it sets things right. It puts the right level again. You have, by offending someone, or the offender, let us not, you don't do these things, but someone who is an offender, I'm speaking of him, he has disempowered the person totally. He has made him angry, and he has made him bitter, and this anger and bitterness kills that person. He has disempowered him. Now, to again empower him, you have to see what need does this person have. This person has a need to again come to the level of becoming free from this. And this you must do by, first of all, the offender must acknowledge an offense. If you say, I'm sorry, but I really meant this. I had a good intention. That's the person doesn't feel satisfied. You can explain how the situation was, and it's important for the person to understand you, but you must really acknowledge an offense. I'm sorry, please, please. In German we say, entschuldige mich. It means make me free from my guilt, which I now carry along. Entschuldige means take the guilt away from me by forgiving me, please. Then, you must show that you feel sorry for the offense by something like remorse, being shame, being humble, being sincere. And then the last thing you have to do is reparations. Das deutsche Wort ist Wiedergutmachung. Reparations means to do something to repair what you have done, what the offender has done wrong. In our Hare Krishna language, we say service. We must offer sincere service. This is very important. I'm saying this because I feel we all have been empowered by this festival in various ways. And we have said it's very important to stay with this. We have cited Kadamba Kanana Maharaj on Breakthrough in Devotional Life, who said we must do a sacrifice. I found this was really a poor point. You know, do something for Krishna. And I just wanted to also give you something on this blocker of our spiritual advancement. The thing which blocks repeatedly our spiritual advancement is this thing of aparad, you know, against Krishna, against the Vaishnavas, against the living entities in general. This is important. I thought it might be helpful. So, Hari Bol. So, but returning to the positive way, I really don't want to end the lecture with don't make offenses. I mean, this is... I mean, it's important we speak about it, but really this shouldn't be the main point. Our main point is relationship to Krishna, which makes us fearless, which makes us, as Rupa Manohar says, it makes us feel, the German word is very nice, geborgen. I don't really know an accurate translation in English. Geborgen, it means something. Sheltered, thank you. Sheltered, that's a good one. Sheltered, thank you. It makes us feel sheltered, you know, when we go into an active relationship to Krishna. And Krishna waits for this. He waits, and he will immediately give two things to you, according to this shloka. He will fortify you and weaken Maya's influence in your life. And one other, that is the main point to go there. So I want to thank you very much. I must apologize I really want to, anyways, I don't want to exploit the lecture for this, but I want to make it short. Prabhu, and those of you who know me, you have seen some bitterness in me over the last years, and I have become very much aware of this during this festival, that there's something weakening my spiritual life, this dissatisfaction. And I sometimes say these things, you know, I say to my audience, for those of you who are interested in Krishna consciousness, I would like to make a point. What I'm saying is, you are not interested. Most of you are not interested. You know, I'm saying this in for life. That's the Vaishnava apparat. That's very bad to say this. And it's just, you know, take some time to become aware of things. And yes, lately by some mercy, I do see here something I really, really have to change. So I hope that your forgiveness is there. I will go to individuals where I know I've done something very bad. And I want to apologize for making you now. It's the day after the fast day. You want to, we all want to take prasadam. It's 9:30. Please excuse me. One forgets, you know, one hears you give the Bhagavatam class, and then okay, good. And then one has as a speaker somehow inside a clock. Okay, you can go up till then, and then you have to stop. But you forget that there was someone, that there was already a class, and then you go, then only your automatic clock works in you, and you think, okay, it can't be late, it's right 8:30 now, and then you look, oh my God, it's 9:30. Oh, sorry. We will not have questions and answers, therefore, because it's late. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi go nitai ki jai, Lord Nrisimhadeva ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Can I just ask Bhagavad Dharma to just come for 1 second, and Sudevi for 1 second, and Malati, really one second, and Sangeeta, would you please also just come? Is Malati still here? Malati, good.